Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Oh no. Seriously? Come on.
This game sucks.
Welcome to Omniscient Idiots.
Welcome to the very first episode of Omniscient Idiots. I am Allison Todd. This is Daniel Vargas. And today, what are we talking about?
Hey, so we're going to talk about one of the most useful and problematic mechanics in D&D 5th edition, which is CR, or challenge rating. I think we've both had some very interesting experiences with CR gone wrong, correct?
Very true.
There's a lot of debate over CR because it is kind of hard to define how strong a creature is, especially when there are a lot of different factors at play, right? Yeah. So
the DM's guide seems to have its own little blurb on how to calculate it, on how to sort of adjust your party to what is going on in the situation, but honestly, it's all kind of subjective depending on who you've got in your group.
Exactly. The composition of a party, the number of players, it all makes a massive difference, assuming that you have a party of four people, which at some groups is a pretty low number, or at others a pretty high number, right? You know, I've seen groups of anywhere from 2 to 8 people. So one of my personal experiences, because as you know, the entire purpose of this show is highlighting when DMs make mistakes, because it happens a lot. There's a bit of an image of like what happens behind the screen. It's all, you know, smoke and mirrors and mystery. And a lot of times it's just frantic anxiety and trying to keep track of who said what and the next beat in this whole plot arc you have.
Oh, yeah. I know, frankly, that it's a lot of, for me, it's a lot of just making shit up on the spot and going with the motion. I don't remember half of what I say most of the time, and I'm relying on the players to just give me context clues about what the hell just came out of my mouth.
Oh, 100%. One of the things that I'm trying to work on the most as being a DM is taking notes, which is a topic for another episode, but one of the hardest things to do as a new DM is balance combat, because if you go strictly by the CR, you're going to run into quite a few problems.
Especially in a system that is so combat-centric, I would say. A lot of things are centered around what you can do in combat and sort of what benefits you get from what different items and all that kind of jazz.
Exactly, and, you know, the game itself is... it is the combat of the game, you know. Everything else is kind of like a meta system on top of that, and like what you do as a party. But the fundamentals of the game, most of your class abilities, those are all combat focused. So it's a key focal point of the game.
Mm-hmm. We know that in like 4th edition that it was mostly you could take a single round of combat and shove it into like 2 hours or something like that. I never played it personally just because of that, because I haven't liked combat for a long time. So I'd usually play with other systems, but I've been really getting into 5e, so I need to learn that, because in my last game, it has not gone so well, and we've got a couple stories about that, don't we?
From my experience, I've been a bit of a dabbler when it comes to 5e, Pathfinder, or Pathfinder 2e. 4e is the one pond which I've not dipped in the toe, and I don't think I will for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
But... it's sad to say, or I guess it's for some people, it's sad to say that comparatively, 5e is pretty combat light for a lot of other tabletop RPGs out there.
It's very rules light in general, but when you need those rules to be sort of concrete, they're just not really there, and that's sort of how it is for CR, where you've got these things that are so dependent on what players you've got, and what abilities they have, what items you've given them. It could be a very low magic world so that you don't give your players a lot of items and the combat is going to be so much harder. And then you've got systems where it's very high fantasy, where you've got settings like Eberron that are just full, chock full of magic. Magic is everywhere. You've got the transportation system. You've got living beings that are made out of magic. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the misleading concepts in CR is that it specifies that CR is, for those of you who don't know, how hard a creature will be for a party of a same level, of four, essentially. So, in a less clumsy way of saying, a CR2 monster is a monster that four level 2 characters who are fully rested should have a moderate difficulty combating.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key points there is when they're fully rested, I ran into an issue with CR because due to a series of events and game and plot elements, I had a party of two characters and two NPCs who had gone through five combat encounters in one day with only short rests in between. Mm-hmm. And one of the players is a wizard, right?
Oh, shit.
So when you go by CR, you have to throw that out the window when trying to plan around that type of storytelling, because it's not meant for it. And it's one of the hidden downfalls of CR is that it's not flexible. And it's really, as you said earlier, a subjective term, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, and that's also one of the aspects of why CR is subjective, is because you're talking about a estimated difficulty, but the game is fundamentally built on chance.
Mm-hmm.
So even a overleveled party can easily lose to a underpowered enemy by the roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need to have kind of concepts and fallbacks in plan, just in case you have that scenario where you're hitting all those attacks, like as the DM you're critting and your players aren't rolling squash. And I know that that's happened to every party out there where you have bad sessions, the dice are not in your favor, and you, as with all things with 5e, just gotta roll with it. That actually kind of brings us to one of our guests on the show, my girlfriend June, who is a DM in her own right and had a pretty, I think, understandable but damning mistake when doing D&D prep. So when I brought up the concept of doing DM mistakes and a podcast around that, one of the inspirations was the story that you told me a while ago about your fated mummy encounter. Do you want to tell us what happened?
It's a very tragic story. I haven't actually DM'd all that much. I did one game. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I had three players. So I'm not very good with the rules of D&D. So I was doing a ton of reading and relying really heavily on the CR ratings, because I was like, okay, I gotta make sure I don't kill these people because they're so excited. I had two brand new players who had never played the game before. I was trying to not murder them. And so they're in a crypt. They walk in and they open this tomb, and of course there's a mummy in it. The mummy is a CR3. I had to bring it up to make sure. And they were level 5s. There was three of them. So I was like, I'm trying to split the difference between it's not a full party, but also they're two levels higher. So like, yeah, it should be okay. But I didn't realize, and I didn't read that the damage resistances are bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magic attacks. And we didn't have any spellcasters. So every time they hit it, it did almost no damage because it was all non-magical weapons and they were only level 5s. So this CR3 mummy absolutely just decimated my party. I think they downed two of them, and thanks to some strategic lying about the dice I was rolling, they managed to get out unharmed. But I was horrified because it went downhill so fast. They couldn't do anything. Unless you got fire, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's one of the downsides of CR, is that they try and take those things into account, but it really depends on having a well-compromised party of varying abilities who can do those things that are essentially CR balancers, right? And so you mentioned, as part of this, you were relying heavily on CR because you're still new to DMing, and it's important to touch on, because that's really what I'm that's really like what we're talking about, is that it's a system in place where all people take it as gospel, and it's really not. I was looking online as we brought up this topic a while ago. And if I were to bring up the creature known as Intellect Devourers.
Oh, no.
Jordan and Allison. For a brief little summary here, if none of you are familiar. Intellect Devourers are essentially canine-like beasts that, rather than devouring flesh and meat, like Mind Flayers, they devour intellect.
Oh, I hate that.
So every time they attack, they lower your intellect score, and it can only be removed by a greater restoration or a comparable ability.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a fifth level spell. A Intellect Devourer is CR2.
Stop it!
No!
Yes, they are. They have very few hit points, and they don't actually do all that much damage. But If you are a barbarian or some other typically low intellect class who charges into battle, you are dead in maybe a turn.
It's like, hey, you can't read now. Oh, and you're dead.
Because for those of you who don't know, if any of your stats ever reaches zero, it is immediate character death.
Mm-hmm. The flavor of you it doesn't matter. Usually it's just
exactly.
death.
Exactly. Yep. I just feel like for zero intellect, you'd be in a vegetative, like, non-responsive state. Essentially dead. It is a strength of 6, 14 dex, 13 con, 12 intelligence, 11 wisdom, and 10 charisma.
It's actually got better mental stats than I thought it would have.
I thought you were going to say it has better mental stats than I do, because I was like, mood.
Same, honestly. I was just talking about earlier today how I was so frustrated that I couldn't get one thought to just go and be coherent.
I said, you're surprised that their mental stats are as good as they are, which isn't surprising, as they are a brain with legs.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrifying. I recommend you pause this and Google intellect devour.
They got big, meaty paws.
They do. Mm-hmm. Their claws are a +4 to hit, no reach, 1 target, and on an average of 7 damage, with 2d4 plus 2. Now, this is the part which really kind of nukes people. The Intellect Devourer targets one creature it can see within 10 feet that has a brain. The hero must succeed on a DC 12 intelligence saving throw against this magic, or take 11 or 2d10 psychic damage. Also on a failure, roll 3d6. If the total equals or exceeds the target's intelligence score, that score is reduced to 0. The target is stunned until it regains at least 1 point of intelligence.
I'm sorry, it's on one hit. Like, it hits you once and that happens?
This applies... The intellect devourer can do this once a turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of so broken.
This kind it of applies also... to the there's another kind of spell that works like that. The feeble mind spell, which is I will remind you an 8th level spell.
CR2.
CR2.
Yep. It can do this. It does not take any type of action. It can just do this once a turn.
Oh god.
On top of its second ability, Body Thief.
Oh god.
That doesn't sound horrifying at all.
The Intellect Devourer initiates an intelligence contest with an incapacitated humanoid within 5 feet of it that isn't protected by protection from evil and good. If it wins the contest, the Intellect Devourer magically consumes the target's brain, teleports into the skull, and takes control of the body. While there, the Intellect Devourer has total cover against attacks and other effects originating outside its host. It retains its intelligence, wisdom, and charisma scores, keeps its telepathy, deep speech, and its other traits. It otherwise adopts the target's statistics. It knows everything the creature knew, including spells and languages.
Who wrote this? That is honestly an
this
incredible monster,
is
though.
Our friends, Wizards of the Coast. Challenge rating 2. This thing is a CR2, and this is why I do not trust CR. Mm-hmm. CR is a guideline, not the rule.
I would be mad, like, if my DM was just like, oh yeah, this is totally an appropriate thing to throw at you. You'd be like, well, you TPK'd our party, so...
If you had
great
a combat,
for one shots though.
Oh, a perfect for one shots. Let's just say a mind flayer with a pack of intellect devourers, which is a very viable scenario, even versus a level 10 party.
Yeah, that's too many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they could all target the same person. Just like,
they
I need
could.
You to roll like 18 checks, please.
They absolutely could. So this is one of the reasons why when I do combat prep, I always try and balance out the factors. I use CR as a rough guideline, and then I adjust the monster as would fit the party. So let's say I have a party who has no like martial characters. If a creature has a spell like innate magic resistance of like 5th level spells or lower, I might drop that resistance down a little bit, because the party, that's their only way to try and beat this thing, right? So that will increase its difficulty rating in comparison.
Thank you so much for being our guest on here.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you on. And that is going to be it for our episode this week. Folks, thank you for tuning to Omniscient Idiots. This has been Daniel Varges and my lovely co-host, Allison Todd.
It's been great to have you all here. Next week, we should be talking about another exciting topic.
All right, that's all.
Until next week.